You for your blood. We love you, Jesus. We lift our voices to you, Jesus. You're the King. You're our King. You're our Savior. You're our Lord. You're the great I Am. You're the living Word. You're the majestic One, the resurrection and the life. Our eyes are on you. Our hearts are positioned for you, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. We lift up your majesty today. We thank you, Lord, for the blood. We thank you, Lord, for your beautiful heart of love for us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we were created for love. We were created to live in radical love, to release that radical love all over the world. But thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord, for your healing, miraculous signs and wonders all over the earth. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing all over creation, all over the earth in the 1040 window, God. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. You're bringing thousands and thousands and thousands to you every day. Thank you, Lord, for the millions of people who are coming to know you. Thank you, Lord, that you're stirring our hearts today, that we're a burning inferno for you today, God, and that you're removing the chaff and you're removing anything that would stand in the way of our undying love for you. Because you're so good, you're so gracious. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And we proclaim you today. We proclaim you. Just tell him how much you love him. If you love him, just tell him. Just open your mouth and worship and adore Jesus. That's why we're here. We love you, Lord.
Yeah.
is a day of hope. The Lord's releasing us into a greater place of hope this morning. Because hope is where we have to live. That's where our faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So today, that hope is increasing. That hope is growing. That hope is something that He cares so much about, that as we encounter Him and we go from glory to glory, that hope arises. Let hope arise. Let hope arise. The enemy's job is to kill our hope. That's his job. And if we allow that or we don't see it, then he wins. And Jesus says, no, I've created you to be a winner. I've created you to win. I've created you to win. We're going to send out an amazing word that Pastor Jose gave, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before. Some of you were here for Tuesday night. But it's about hope, and it's about trusting the Lord, and it's about winning. And it's really good. So we'll send that out to you guys this week. I'm just going to ask Cynthia if she'll share something that the Lord just recently did for her. And you all know that we're continuing to pray for Maria. And Cynthia is going to be flying out on Tuesday and then at this point returning Saturday. And so we're in faith, we're trusting, we're believing, we're saying, Jesus, we're standing in the gap for someone who can't stand in the gap for herself. But in the midst of all this, Cynthia has a testimony, and I just asked her if she would share it this morning. So,
good morning. I think most of you are aware, because I believe that you guys prayed for me a few times. But when my mom was still here in Ohio with me, I had a really bad plantar's wart in the heel of my foot. And it was, it got to the point where it was actually very painful at times. And it was really annoying and bothersome, and just knew that it wasn't the Lord's heart or desire for me, especially having to take care of my mom. My foot in pain wasn't a good thing. But we prayed. Pastor Mary Pat and Pastor Bill had been praying, and I know some of you had come into agreement with those prayers, and it completely went away. And my foot is completely, it happened at some point between leaving to Arizona to transition my mom, and it completely healed once we were in Arizona. So there was, it was just amazing, because I honestly didn't have time to pay attention to the annoying thing. But the next thing I knew, my foot wasn't in pain, and it just kind of started falling off, literally, and to the point where we were ready to head back here. And I had Lauren, I said, can you look at the bottom of my foot? Because I don't think I see anything or feel anything more. And he's like, no, it's gone. There's nothing there. There's nothing. So thank you so much for your prayers, and thank you, Lord, for dealing with that.
And this, when you were telling me about it initially, she waited a while, you know, Sin. So it's like, I don't have time for this, and she's taking care of her mom. And when we did talk about it, it was causing so much pain that it was literally just hard to walk at all. And you know that she's caring for her mom, so it's just really, really tough and very painful, to the point where she was going in for surgery to have it removed, and didn't they cancel it, or you canceled it or something?
Well, I had it looked at to confirm what it was, and they had said I needed to have surgery to remove it. But on the day that I had scheduled that, my mom ended up needing to go to the hospital, so we obviously didn't make it to my appointment. And then a second time, I went to a dermatologist so they could look at it. And at that point, they actually biopsied it because they wanted to make sure it was a wart, because it was rather large and it was looking funky. So they biopsied it, and the plan had been that once I got back to Arizona, depending on the results, that we would go in for further treatment. So that's how I left, with it on my foot, with the plan to come back and treat it, but it was healed in the desert.
Healed in the desert, I like that. If there's anybody who has any foot problems at all, there's an anointing here now. So If you've got any foot problems, just raise your hand, and then there's one, two, three. Can you guys just all come up here in the front row and maybe...
Hello, hello, there we are again. Well. Just don't touch the bottom. I
think there's something at the bottom. Okay. Does anybody else want to join this brigade here? We like supernatural touches, don't we? So, Father, we just thank you. Let's just extend our hands over here. Let's just see some healings going on just that happened to Cynthia. Let's see it repeated. So, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your power today. We thank you for your love. Your greatest power is your love. We thank you, Lord, for the same testimony for all three, whatever their problem would be, that there would be a change in the heavenlies right now that would touch their bodies. So, Lord, we release all three from these maladies in your name by the power of your blood. And we thank you, Lord, that your healing power is done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we believe by faith and we trust you. We just take a step and we do what you did. We take a step and we say what you say. We take a step and we hear what you hear. We take a step. We believe what you say to believe. So, Lord, we thank you for faith extending and faith growing right now. And we just thank you, Lord, for the miracle working power to come right now and release these three from whatever is plaguing them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Anybody else have a testimony of physical healing for this week? Anybody else? Physical healing. That's what we're asking for. Physical. Something physical. Physical healing this week. Okay. Okay, but it's for you. We're talking about. That's cool. Amen. Amen. Physical healing that actually took place. Okay. Physical healing that you had? This is for you so that you can pray for others today. Because we have healings going on everywhere. I could talk all week about what we know and what we've seen. So praise God for that. But we also were asking for those in here, as Cynthia had a healing, just for time's sake. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, I want to tell you something that happened. And this is pretty cool. Okay, how many of you remember 2013? Are you with me? 2013, Pastor Benjamin went to prison and then began to be tortured for his faith. Who remembers this? Okay, last year he was released. You know that. Everything that happened in Southeast Asia has to be proven in the courts. Okay? They call it squashing it. So here's what happened this week. You guys have to hear this. This is so miraculous. This Hindu commissioner, I guess, is the one who arrested him. He's the one who raided. No, he's still Hindu. He's not a believer. Okay? He's the one who raided the homes and the kids were removed. And Pastor Benjamin, you'll have to help me with that, was sent to prison. Okay? Okay, you guys want to hear this because this is going to blow your minds. Listen to this. Pastor Benjamin went to try to get this case squashed. This man showed up. The judge, the very judge who's also Hindu, looks at him and calls him up to the stand. And what happened was, Pastor Benjamin said, "Are you going to testify against me?" This is from 2013. He's not a believer. And he goes, "I can't do that because you're innocent and you've never hurt the children and you never human trafficked them. You never kidnapped them. You never did anything wrong." He said it to Pastor Benjamin. And then the judge said, "Then why did you arrest him?" And he said, "Because the powers greater than me forced me to do it. And the man is innocent. And he hasn't been able to sleep well since 2013. So the Lord freed him, and Pastor Benjamin is going to get the final decree, because that's how they work on it, on the 4th. He found out that his own attorney for this past year has been the one behind postponing everything. So it's been really rough, you know, the last year. He found that out, the very one. So that's been changed. And this one, he's been paid off or bought off, or his life was threatened. This is serious stuff. But the Lord came in, even to those who don't know him, and he moved on the king's heart like channel of water and flipped it so that he would be declared innocent, that he is vindicated, that the name of the Lord was vindicated in court. This is huge. This is really great. So now, once this gets the final stamp, he'll be able to fly out here. He'll be able to be with us. He'll be able to travel America. He'll be able to go to the nations. Is that really cool? And it's like amazing miracle. Really, really cool. So as part of all that's going on right now, some of us, and I invite all of you guys to go to Columbus in 3 weeks with us. Here's what's going on. And Andy, can you get this rolling, or whoever, did he tell you what we're doing? Can you help us with this so it's smooth? We're going, remember Awake in the Dawn? There were 40 of us who went last year, 40-something. And this was in Washington, D.C. This is part two. This is called Tent America. Awake in the Dawn, Tent America. Okay? Frontline is the coordinator for the state of Ohio for evangelism. Okay? That's us. So we're going to be leading teams. We're also leading worship. We're going down to the state capitol in Ohio. We're going down to Columbus, and we're going to be leading worship, leading prophetic evangelism, prophetic painting, all kinds of things. It's smaller scale on one front. It's really not. It's just that all the people and more who were part of Awake in the Dawn last year, they're going back to their states, and they're going down, or for us it's going down, but they're going to their state capital. So that's what's happening. This is called Awake in the Dawn / Tent America. So watch this right now. Or can you click on it so we can see it, Andy, the flyer? So Tent America 2018, if you click on that, it should come up. The whole invitation. Well, tell me when it's ready. We're used to this. So, all right, he's going to find it. So Tent America is going on in Columbus, and there's two parts to it. It's going to be on the Capitol grounds in Washington, D.C., in Columbus, on the Capitol grounds, and also 20 miles away. There's going to be 24/7, except it's not 7. There's going to be 3-4 days of worship going on in a place called Groveport. And there's also decrees and declarations. There are two worship teams from around the state of Ohio that are going to do the part down in Columbus. Guess who they are? Us. Two. Us, and then one in Toledo. And the reason for it is so that we can come together and have consistency. And so there's a lot going on that weekend, a lot of family weddings and things like that. A lot of people aren't free to go. So the ones who are, it's really important to be able to go down there. And we are going to take what happened at Awake in the Dawn and take it to the next level for the state of Ohio. There's also something going on with some campuses here in Ohio. And this is supposed to be going on in all the campuses all over the nation. So it's a very big deal. Are we ready? I don't know what this is. No. I don't know where you are. It's. Remember what I said this morning with awakenthedawn/tent-america.org? If you go there, the whole thing will come up and then everybody can see it. So Awake in the Dawn was last year, and then this year is Tent America, which is the next step. It's going from glory to glory, which is really cool. And so we're going to go down there, and we're going to be on the grounds. Let me tell you this. When this group tried to get the land on the Capitol building, you know, the Capitol down in Columbus, They were hit with a no, no, no. Okay, somebody else was used by the Lord, and she's the coordinator for all of Ohio, and she felt the Lord was connecting her with a senator down in Columbus, and she told him about this, and he said, oh, I'll get that for you. My secretary can do it. No problem at all. So my secretary is going to get that for you. And he's the one that put the heartbeat bill in motion. He's the one that put it on the table. He's the one that put things in motion to defund Planned Parenthood. So God is saying yes and amen. So the people from National are really excited about what's happening in Ohio. So despite not small beginnings, do not look at numbers. I'm telling you, the Lord is saying, I'm calling you guys. We didn't seek it out. They sought us out. We didn't say, can we be the coordinators for evangelism? And no, I received the calls. So thank you for everything that was done last year in Washington, D.C. You guys are awesome. And then I received the calls for this year. Okay, here we go. There's a video that has sound. So you have to go the other direction. So there's a video further up by David Bradshaw. It's not working. There we go. No, that's not it either. It's awakenthedawn/tent-america.org. That's what it is. I don't know why it's not working. I watched it earlier. But anyway, I can just tell you that that's what's going on. And you may think, oh, well, that's no big deal. Well, for us it is, because we have relentless pursuit the following week. And it's like, Jesus, what are you doing? We're trying to get all this together and have all these out-of-the-country speakers in. But the Lord says, you just rest in me. Watch what I do. So we're inviting everybody to see if they can come. We're going to be on the state capitol on Friday and Saturday. It's going to be Friday. The times are 4 to 8, actually. We don't have 24/7 or anything. So it's 4 to 8 on Friday, and then it's 10 in the morning to 2 on Saturday. But they want us, people from the nation want us to do evangelism in the streets because of the call for evangelism on our life. Plus, we also have this worship place. So God is really, he's really blessing. We got it? Okay. Just put the sound up, please.
Moments on our national mall.
Yeah. That's David Bradshaw.
We've just experienced one of the most historic moments on our national mall. 58 tents, day and night worship, prayer, gospel proclamation. It's already shifting our nation. This was never meant to be an end game, but a staging ground. It was never meant to be just an event, but always a movement. And it's a true moment for a Jesus movement in America. We want to invite you into something significant, something amazing in 2018, something historic. Imagine this. In 2018, we go to every state capital and as many hundreds of university campuses as we can connect with, all at the same time for a four-day gathering of a tent, worship, prayer, gospel, proclamation, movement. Literally, thousands will encounter Jesus. Thousands will hear the sound. At the center of all of our state capitals and university campuses all across America, we believe in 2018, there's another four-day gathering that is yet again unprecedented. Never happened before, where simultaneous, public, bold expressions of the love of God are going to flood our nation. So we want to invite you to be part of this. We'll reach millions of people. We want to invite you to join us to Tent America. We want to go on a rescue mission to a generation and to a nation. We want to go out into the public square and see the gospel proclaimed with the power of God. This is a unity movement. God is bringing us together across regions, across cities, across states, and even across the whole nation. I mean, this is the staging ground, not just for tent gatherings, but for a true Jesus movement unto a missions movement that will ultimately fill the world with worship. That's what's in God's heart. This is Jesus' dream, and we want to invite you not into our dream, but into his dream. Let's take a bold, audacious step of faith in 2018 and tent America.
Amen. Isn't that amazing? And you can look at it yourself. You can go to awakenthedawn.org and watch this as well, or go to my Facebook page. I think it's on there now. But this is the Lord's calling us. If you feel any kind of like, whoa, in your heart, respond to that. Do something. Say, instead of saying, no, I can't because. I mean, obviously, there's family weddings. I'm not talking about leaving the wedding. I'm not saying that. Okay, but I'm saying if there's any other possible way. Some people are getting some time off work. Just remember what we did last year for Awaken the Dawn. And this is shorter, but these are things that if you can make a way, ask the Lord, or ask the Lord, and he'll do something for you. Because we really do need to be able to have some teams to be able to go out in the streets, and I believe the Lord's behind this, as well as the worship and prophetic art and all of that. So God bless you guys for that. Andy has a video we haven't seen yet, and it's a promo for Relentless Pursuit. We'll just pass on the other one that we talked about this morning. Okay, we'll just do the Relentless Pursuit. So this is what's coming up the week after. So it's been a busy time, you know, for us to kind of juggle all this and just say, Jesus, help. But we're meeting tremendous people all across the nation, in Ohio, first and foremost. And then, you know, there are other regions that are coming in saying, who are you guys? What do you do? Let's connect, which is really cool. So the future is bright for missions and whatever else the Lord has us doing. So here we go with Andy's video, because we know who we have.
Hallelujah, 我们今天再一次回到了耶路撒冷来守竹棚街2000的，我相信。 我们在这里说灵兽的复兴的意象，这天国的福音要传遍天下，对着万民做见证。我相信这一次会有很多的弟兄姊妹从神的话语之中能够再一次经历到神的同在和触摸。欢迎你们来参加我们回归耶路撒冷的大会。
Awesome, Andy. That's so cool. We need your help because it's not the end of October. We have a youth conference when we have Relentless Pursuit. So it's coming up right now because Brother Yoon's in the country, Pastor Jose is in the country, so we decided we're going to do this all at the same time, which is really cool. And I asked Andy if you can pull up that 2-minute clip from my phone. I want to have you listen real quickly to a 2-minute audio of the man, when Brother Yoon was released from prison the last time, after 10 years in prison for his faith, to the point of death many times in China, the last time when the Lord literally opened the prison doors and he walked out with broken legs. Okay, this is the man you're going to see. When he went into the house that received him, one of the people was at a conference that I went to last week for a day or two down in Orlando, and I met him, and his name is Pastor Jeff, and his wife is testifying about what it was like. It's a 2-minute clip, audio clip, 2 minutes of what it was like when the Lord, after Brother Yoon was separated from his family, separated for 10 years in between times, 10 years ultimately of suffering, 10 years. And the Lord came in his room, Jesus came in his room, sat on his bed, talked to him, and told him he was sending him out. And he was leaving China. That's cool. He didn't tell him where. He didn't tell him. He said, the people won't understand you, and you won't understand them. He goes, why are you sending me? He says, because I'm going to send you to go wake up my lost bride and bring my people home. So anyway, this lady you're going to listen to for 2 minutes, she's the one that made all the arrangements for him to leave China. And it was really hard because he had to leave his wife and kids behind. And eventually they caught up. I'm telling you, when you're radical for Jesus, he calls us into the impossible. He calls us to do extraordinary things. He says, I'm calling you to live radically for me, and you can't unless you're in love with me, because everybody will, you just can't take it. But when we fall in love with Jesus, then he'll see us through, and he'll give us the joy. So there's 2 minutes. I don't know if that can come up, Andy. That'd be awesome.
But I feel as if I was the one that facilitated
you
the
turn
separation.
Turn it up, the volume.
So was, I watched
and when I watched Brother Yun's wife crying after Brother Yun had left, I just blamed myself and I feel like I had done the most terrible thing.
Yeah, 我一直祷告, 我说主, 你绝对不能使他们分开, 如果这件事情是你的旨意。
Then I kept praying again. I said, Lord, if it's your will, you will not separate them.
所以神成就的事情真的是超乎我的所求所想。
So what the Lord can do is definitely always more than we can ever think or imagine.
在这整个过程里面，我发现一件事情，
One thing I've learned from the process.
其实我只是一个管道。I'm
just a channel.
我只是一个连接。I'm
just a connection.
我没有，我不能做什么，我不能有任何的期待。
I really shouldn't have any expectation.
因为都是他要做的事情。Because
it's all God's work.
所以。
我鼓励大家, so I'd like to encourage everyone.
每一个事情临到我们都是一个机会。
Everything that comes to us is an opportunity.
如果当初那个人找我说要带他离开的时候，我想很多很多。 那么这件事情就没有希望。
If I thought too much and dwell too much on everything when I was given the opportunity, then I might have lost opportunity.
现在也许你在做一个决定，你听到神对你说话。
You might be hearing God, you might be hearing from God a message.
一个机会，你就可以去做。
There's an opportunity in front of you for you to do something.
真的不要想太多。
Don't hesitate, don't think too much.
不要想太多，你就去跟随主。
Just do it, just follow the Lord's prompt.
把神的祝福能够放到释放到那些需要的地方。That's
awesome. And there's a whole lot more. I don't know if you could hear it in the back with all these crazy fans or not. It was hard to hear up here. But I was really struck by that because she said, let's just do it. If you have a prompting, when something touches your soul, when you're hearing a message in here, you're hearing something, rather than analyze it to death, just say yes. Keep your yes really easy, and the Lord will have you do things that are so crazy, it won't make sense. And it will feel like it's flying in the face of everything. It'll feel like, oh my gosh. As long as you're walking with Jesus, and you're loving him, and you're laying your life down for Jesus, because there's a life laid down that he's looking for. It's radical love. So, Brother Yun, after she spoke, he got up and he said, it's great to stop and love one another. He said, but in this season, it's not enough. And I was listening going, what? It's not enough. Oh, hate the sin, love the sinner. He says, you have to love with radical love, radical love. So this kind of living is radical love. We have to ask God, am I loving with radical love? Am I loving you with radical love? Am I loving others with radical love? And he said, the first commandment of loving Jesus radically will overshadow everything. That's got to be where we are. Okay? Radical living. Radical love is what he said. And there's a whole lot more, but you're going to be blessed. This week, you're going to get a newsletter in the mail, and it's going to have an insert inside. Everybody gets one. You've already had an email about Relentless Pursuit, but you're going to get something in the mail also. And we were hoping to have everything that was printed that's going out on Tuesday for you guys today to take out. But it's not here, and so I'm sorry about that. But on Tuesday, everything should be mailed out, so you'll get it next week. And we're asking for your help. We would love to see, there's no more room in the inn, oh my gosh, standing room only, for all the speakers that are going to be here from out of the country and such. So we really need your help. If we think, oh, it's just another Relentless Pursuit, it's number 7, yawn, 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 that's what it could be. And that's not God's heart. So if you can help us, take a step and help us, that would really be appreciated. Any way that you can even help in the office or anything right now would be appreciated, because Carly's going to have a baby. And it looks like today could be the day. So I just talked to her before I came in. She woke up this morning with contractions 7 minutes apart. And then they quickly went to 3.5 to 4. Some of you already know that. So I talked to her, and she was waiting in line for breakfast at a little cafe in Orville. So she said that she would let us know. So if something happens quickly, because she had a suddenly for a dream 2 nights ago, she said she'd call here. So if I can have my phone, that would be good, because I told her I'll be preaching today. So she called? She texted? Is that what she said? Did you? She's in process? What? What's the answer? Just look at it, okay? Man, is this a family church or what? My God. All right. Maybe they're going home. I don't know. We'll see. They're not. Okay, Jesus, you are on the scene. Bring your creation forth. Oh, my. Oh, wow. Okay, big things just happened. So I don't need to say what that is. So praise the Lord. That's why you gave me my phone. So thank you, Lord, that baby Selah will come into this world today. So thank you, Lord, come into this earth today. Just call you forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a very quick and speedy delivery. Amen. Oh, that's funny. Amen. Baby Selah's here. That's so cool. No, she's not here. She's on her way. She's coming. This is the day the Lord's made for her. Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. Okay. I think those are all the announcements. All right. Kids can go to Kingdom Land. I got a word from Mark for you guys that God gave me that's pretty darn cool. So there's a lot of people out at, it's Labor Day weekend. So thanks for coming today. Jesus is still here. Okay. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing here. Jesus, may your name be glorified through this, for this verbal presentation of who you are. We just love you so much here, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for open hearts, open spirits. Thank you, Lord. You are so amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your love. Thank you for doing what you're doing around the world. Thank you for setting Pastor Benjamin free. Thank you for doing everything with Pastor or Brother Yoon. Thank you for what you're doing for Selah. Thank you for what you're doing for Maria Peralta as we call in everything that you want to accomplish, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for all the prayers, everything, our yes and amen for Maria. Thank you, Lord. We're just believing for the fullness of your promise for her, what that would be in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Not to sound like a broken record, but if you don't have this, get it. Your life will be wrecked and changed forever. If you read it, read it again. It's amazing. And you can download it on Kindle. But The Heavenly Man is really something. So let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5, okay? Interestingly, that book has been on my heart a lot this week. And I was looking at Mark chapter 5. And then I started just thinking, you know, reading the very beginning of Mark. And it was very fun. And then this morning I was already moving towards that, going to be speaking about Mark. And I said, well, Lord, what exactly do you want me to say about Mark? And I was finishing, trying to get that two-minute clip for you before I got here today from Brother Yoon's friend's wife, Chin Chou. And as I listened to him, I hadn't heard this before, he said, oh, the Lord has been calling me into the book of Mark. He gets up every morning at 5 and he takes his people who are around him and they all hang out together and go through whatever the Lord does with them, which is really cool. But I want you to turn in here and feast in this book because so many things are really important and poignant for right now because I think we're on the precipice of something amazing the Lord wants to break open and break through, not just here in the state of Ohio, but in our individual lives and our family lives. And we have so many things that we're contending for and we're believing for. And it's like, Lord, this sometimes feels overwhelming. And he goes, I know. I'm not going to overwhelm you. I want you to stay in joy. I want you to be in joy. I want you to remain in peace. Because peace, joy, and righteousness are the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. So I want you to stay in peace. I want you to stay in the Holy Ghost. I want you to stay in that place. But you need to be in that place to be able to stay. So we need to get there. And that's going to come through encounters with the Lord, encounters with Jesus, and the fire of the Holy Ghost, period. If not, it's going to feel tormenting, and it's going to feel really hard, really tough. And the Lord's wanting us to get to a place where, you know, if something really seemingly horrible happens, we're okay. It's like, well, Jesus, I don't understand this one either, but we're rolling with it because we're rolling with you. Not some weird faith thing where we're believing in faith. No, no, no. This is a connection through encounter with Jesus. That's a whole different ballgame. So just going after what it says in the scripture and saying, well, I'm just going to choose to believe that and that's it. But our hearts are not really positioned after him and encountering him, seeing him, seeking him, and going after him face to face. And then saying, Lord, what are you going to do about this? How is this going to change? Take me down a new road. Take me down a different direction. Take me down a different path if you're wanting to. My life is not my own. I'll do whatever you say. I'll do an about face because you didn't call me to remain in a place of confusion or a place where I'm in pain and I'm falling apart when something comes up. That's not you. And so when we discern what's the Lord and what's not the Lord, we're winning. We're on that road to winning. If we don't understand, we don't see it, or we agree with something that is not from that perspective, I don't care how long it takes, the enemy is going to continue to water us down and kick us where it hurts. And do more than that. He's able to steal for years, kill for years, and destroy. He's able to do these things if we let him. So the Lord wants us to function as Jesus did, completely relying on him. But the faith is in him because we've had encounters with him. We've had connection with him. How many of us know there's a difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of Jesus? And the Lord wants us to know him. He wants us to see him. He wants us to experience him as we're hearing from the Holy Spirit as well. As we know when Papa is speaking, as we know when something comes, a rhema word of God comes from the Father, comes from the throne, and comes and overtakes us. The Lord is taking us into the place of maturity to be able to discern the difference. And so when we read and we study the book of Mark, and we're really, really zeroing in on what he's saying and what he's doing, we're going to see Jesus come alive. Let me give you a little example. Yesterday when I was on the phone with a gal that I had met in Pemba, actually, in Mozambique, in 2015, she had called me. The Lord had restirred the connection. We had a little bit of a connection when I got back. Pastor Jose went down to Georgia and preached in their area for a lot of different things. But we never really connected again. When I went to Pemba in 2017, she wasn't there. It's like, what's going on down there? These people are on the cutting edge of technology, amazing technology that's going into the 1040 window. It's going into places where people are killed if they have a Bible, and people are losing their lives. I mean, it's really, it's the nitty-gritty, it's the heavy-duty stuff. It's the Lord saying, pay attention, wake up when you encounter me so you can really get a heart for these things. Because it's serious time. But you need the serious joy and the serious peace and living righteously to be able to get it. And the Lord says, your call, the call on your life is part of that. And so the enemy wants to derail anything through the things that you want and you love the most. That's what he does. That's the only way. He looks for the most vulnerable spot and he'll kill us any way that he can. We've got to rise. We have to know Jesus. We've got to encounter him. And that means spending time with him. There's just no doubt about it. So anyway, I get this phone call yesterday. And so I was telling this girl, this lady, who also is involved not only in this cutting-edge technology, which is another day, tell you more about that, with SD cards. I told you a little bit about it, actually, in 2015. But this is dealing with SD cards that go into the flip phones, not the iPhones. And it's not traceable. And you can download so many things on these phones with this SD card. God has given them the technology that was just finished being developed in power last week. So she's calling me about it. And it's interesting because she was at this conference for a couple of days just because she wanted to go. She just didn't have really any plan. And we just missed each other. I mean, just by moments, which was interesting. So she texted me. And interestingly, we had a two-hour conversation yesterday, which we could not have had in Orlando at all. And there were other things that I had to do that were priority. So God knows what to do. He knows the timing. But she also is involved in releasing, she and her husband in their ministry, is involved in releasing projectors, solar projectors, that can go into these villages and display the very things that are on these SD cards on the cell phones, and display them in a room or on a sheet or on the back of a building or wherever it would be. And so we have a whole thing going with that, not just for Mozambique, but also India, Ghana, other places. This is really cool stuff. So when I was talking to her, she's our connector, one of our connectors for the Jesus film. And so I said, okay, so I wanted to tell you what happened this year. We probably should have done something last year, but you know how it is. We never got around to it. She's laughing, going, I get this. We said, the Magdalena film. You Mozambican team members are going to love this. The Magdalena film. I said, we love it. We love the Jesus film. We love Magdalena. And we want to show Magdalena in Gaza province and other provinces, but we can't because the language is Tsonga. And so they don't have it. They just have it in Portuguese, and so we need it in Tsonga. She goes, stop, just a minute. This is yesterday. What are you saying? She goes, wait, stop. My very best friend who works with me had a vision from God this week or last week. I was just caught up in her excitement. And she said that the Lord came to her in this vision or dream or something, this supernatural encounter, and said, I'm connecting you in Africa, in Tsonga, T-S-O-N-G-A, and I'm going to be doing something and using you. And she's the one that would be the connector. So she was almost crying on the phone. And I said, wow. She goes, this is wonderful. And then she says, well, the way for all this to happen is, you know, in a certain place that Pastor Joe say just happens to be going at the end of the week. She goes, can you go with him? These people, they could help you in all the countries that you're going to and the ones in the future. So I was just kind of enjoying this, you know, going, God, what in the world? You're connecting dots. He's saying, if I've got your heart, I'm connecting the dots. Let me show you. I need the fullness of your heart so that the fruit that remains will increase. You want things to be fruitful in your life. It comes from that intimacy, that closeness with Jesus. Because he says in John 15 that fruit that remains is going to increase. We're not going through John 15 right now, but it's a good one to read again. And he's going to remove anything on our branches that isn't productive. Anything's going to be burned up. So it's a really good place to say, Lord, would you prune me? Say that to the Lord. Lord, would you please prune me? Because if there's anything that's not bearing the fruit that you want, Jesus, I'm willing to go through whatever it looks like for that to be pruned out of my life. I'm okay with that because you've got my best interests at heart. Okay? Read that in John chapter 15 for yourself. But anyway, things are happening, and the Lord's saying, I want to bless you. I want to strengthen you. I don't want you to live under a curse. I don't want you to live under anything but blessing. But sometimes blessing may look like prison for 4 years. I mean, that's nobody wants to hear that, right? But what happened with Pastor Benjamin was that he walked in the deepest humility he's ever walked in his life, and he's still growing in it. And he's going all over. And I was telling this girl yesterday on the phone, I said, let me tell you about this guy. She goes, hey, because I met her in the bathroom in Pemba. She goes, you told me about him, you know, his alias name. Whatever happened? And I said, well, here's what happened. Oh, my gosh. And I said, and now he's out, and he's going all over India, healing, delivering in Jesus' name. He's seeing wonders, signs, and miracles. People are getting released all over that nation and other nations too. And some of the kids that were involved in human trafficking, some of the kids that were rescued in the homes that we know, those very kids are grown up. God kept them, saved them, kept them okay, kept them safe. You know what? That's not normal. He kept them safe, and some of them are rescuing children on the borders. I'm not going to say anymore because this, you know, probably said too much. I have to go back and say, oh, I got to get rid of that. But on some of the borders of some of the countries in Southeast Asia, they're rescuing. These are the kids that were rescued. They're rescuing others because they kept their eyes on Jesus. And even if, when they felt like they couldn't, he carried them. This is cool. Okay, so Mark chapter 1. Let's see how much we can do today. The whole Bible? No. Mark chapter 1. Let me just tell you, I wrote in my Bible here a while ago, and I preached it sometime. I really don't know when. Maybe somebody remembers. But I said that there are 10 immediately's in chapter 1. I might be wrong, because I was counting this morning, and I could count 9. So count for me. And maybe, hopefully I'm right. If not, it's 9. I really don't care. It's 9 or 10. But in the first chapter, it's immediately, 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 immediately. Lord, why are you emphasizing Mark chapter 1? And then when you get to Mark chapter 5, get ready. Because this is when the Gerasene demoniac is overcome by Legion. And Jesus just shows up and wrecks his world. And that's a very large, you know, principality, power, wickedness, and high place and all that. But that's okay, because the Lord is teaching and training all people who are disciples and followers of his, and that would be us. But in Mark chapter 1, if you guys are math people, you're probably counting right now, immediately, immediately, immediately. But it's really fun to see that the Lord was moving Jesus along. The Father was moving Jesus along very clearly in Mark chapter 1. If you can put up there, if you could put Mark chapter 1, verses 10. Well, put up the rest of the chapter. Just put it up if you could, Rach. That would be great. We'll start with 9. Because it just talks about the preaching of John the Baptist. And then it goes into the baptism of Jesus in verse 9. Not chapter 9, I'm sorry. It says, when Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. That's immediately. That's verse 10. I like immediately, so I like calling those out. But at the same time, the Lord says, wait upon me. Those who remain in me will wait for me. No matter what it takes, no matter what it is, no matter how long it is, as Brother Yoon had to wait in prison, he said, and I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but he said, and I'll just say it again, that the most difficult part for him when he was in prison for those years was waiting on the Lord. And because he had to endure not just the pain and the suffering, but he didn't know if he would live or die. And so the Lord didn't say, guess what? On this date, I'm going to deliver you. No, he didn't do that. The Lord didn't do that. So he conditioned him, and the endurance for him was developed in such a powerful way. Such a powerful way. through the waiting. So when we have immediatelys, those are the things when we're studying the scriptures that we really like. It's like, yes, immediately. I want to see that because I need to get out of this ditch. This is terrible. But the Lord says in that process of waiting, he says, I want to fine-tune you. I want to develop you. I want you to encounter me. I want you to get to that place of love, peace, and joy. And accepting the things that I'm teaching you how to walk through. Never accepting sickness and disease. Never accepting stealing and killing and destroying. No. But the Lord is saying, when you come after me as the healer, as the deliverer, if you really spend the time with me, spend the time with me. I'm going to say it three times. Spend the time with me. You'll get to know my heart, and you will be okay in the wait. You'll be okay because you'll have opportunities to spend with me, not just because you have a problem. So he's calling us, beloved. He's calling us to increase with that. He really is. He's saying, lay down. I want to be a habitation for you. Part of me doesn't even like sharing that, to be honest with you, in this place. You want to know why? Who wants to know why? It's really hard, truthfully, because we've said this for as many years as we've been here. And if we are not all in agreement with that, and he is not in the process of helping us believe that he wants to be a habitation in our heart, then it becomes empty words. And honestly, it can be discouraging. So I fight that and say, nope, I'm not going to receive that. Because that's what he's speaking to me. He's saying, I want to be that habitation for you. I want the dove to be so at home in me that he's not leaving because I'm overreacting or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. He's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's not leaving me forever. But he doesn't like anything that's not heavenly, honestly, especially agreement with something that's not from him. He doesn't like that. It's like, whoa, okay, get it together, and I'll be able to dwell there in peace. So the Lord's looking for that. So Jesus, when he was actually going into the water, and you can see from up above there, immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him in verse 10. And verse 11, and a voice came out of the heavens, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit compelled him. So this is the compelling voice of the Holy Spirit. You feel this compelling to go. You feel this compelling also to wait. That's part of the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So just let that simmer a little bit. In verse 13, he says, he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. During that time, I mean, how many times have we heard this scripture? Everybody in here is born again. You know this. You're filled with the Spirit. But the Lord says, if you're really filled with the Spirit, and you're really walking in the fullness of the Spirit, he says, then the oil that will drip from you like Aaron's beard will be felt and seen by all around you. Okay? It's not enough to speak in tongues and then confess a few things and try to just make it through. No, no, no. This is about love. There is a love deal going on between Jesus and us. And he's saying, I'm calling you to encounter me and to let me love you. Just let me love you. That's the problem. With most of us, we don't know the love of the Father, so we don't trust him. At the end of the day, our issues come back to our connection with the Lord. Everything comes back to that. Everything, no matter what's going on in our world, comes back to that. Maybe it's a faith crisis. Maybe it's just something where that's blocking that receiving. But the Lord says that there's nothing that can block you if you come after me. If you will pursue me as I'm pursuing you, nothing can stop you. There isn't any demon. There isn't any problem. There's nothing. There's no discouragement. There's nothing too big because you are my beloved and my hand is on you. So if it feels overwhelming, that's when we need to lay down. That's when we need to just stop. That's when we need to be in his presence. That's when we need to connect with him until his peace and joy remains. And then we become a habitation for him. So we know these things, but the Lord says that one of the worst problems for a person who thinks they're spirit-filled, they think they're on fire, they're not really on fire. Because who would in here say, well, I'm not really spirit-filled? But the Lord is saying, he's calling for that radical love for Jesus that just jumps up and it just is contagious. And people will be drawn by that if they want Jesus. Eventually, they will. Because he's the only way out. He's the only answer. That's how we need to roll and live with him. So the verses go down into 14 all the way through. If we look at 15, it says, let me do 14. After John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus came doing this. So he immediately started preaching. He immediately started doing the work of the kingdom. He immediately started doing so much, you can't even believe it, while he's in communion with the Father. But he's going after people. He's offering himself to people. It's one of the reasons I asked Cynthia to pray for these people. Not just, oh, we could have healing, that'd be great. She had a healing, she's supposed to testify. The Lord's working on that level. But he's also saying, keep doing the work of the kingdom. As you're laying down and serving others and taking care of their physical needs, step in and do the work of the kingdom also. That work of the kingdom, because that's what Jesus was doing. If you read for yourself in Mark chapters 1, 2, and 3, you're going to see that Jesus had crowds around him all the time. He had people around him all the time. He was going and preaching, and he was teaching, and he was healing, and he was delivering. And when we step in, okay, beyond what our grid is that we typically have, and we feel like I can't take any more, if we say that, we can't, the Lord can't tip it over. He wants to tip it over so that the oil of the Lord is running down us. Seriously. So this is what Jesus modeled. And without the right perspective of Jesus, it's like, well, you're just talking ministry then. This is just ministry. Wait a minute. This is supposed to be about something else. Now I'm drawing the line because now I see who you are. Now I see where you're going. The Lord says, no. He says, this is the life. This is the laid down life of a lover of Jesus. In his presence, we'll be compelled to go do the work of the kingdom. In his power, in his authority. So I want to show you a couple of things about the power and authority that Jesus released when he got his disciples. It's kind of cool. So when Jesus was preaching in Galilee, as you know, in 16 and 17, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, to Simon, who became Peter and Andrew. And then he went on in 19 and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and they were in the boats getting the nets. And immediately he called them, verse 20, and they left their father in the boat with the hired servants, and they went away to follow him. 21. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. Now look at 22, guys. I think this is number 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the fifth immediately, if I'm counting right. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This was coming from a place of persecution. This was coming from waiting on the Lord. And this was coming from stepping in and doing what he was created to do. Because he came here to serve. He came here to do all of these things. And he's not saying, well, I'm in ministry now, so that's what I do. No. This was his life. This was his lifestyle. So we're all called to do that. And the enemy wants to confuse us and say, you're not. You're better at this. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Don't do that. See? If we want to live a life as Jesus lived, let's watch and see what he did. It's very clear. We can become so excited when we read the scriptures for ourselves of the way Jesus operated. And the authority will increase. You want greater authority? Do you want to see an end to some of the things that are plaguing people you love, people you know in your own life? You want to have the authority that is released And not just say, well, you know, we live in 2018 and it doesn't work right now, but in the future it will. That's fine and that's true. But at the same time, the Lord says, I want to increase your authority, so step in. So when we step in, how many times have we prayed for people and then we get healed? Because the authority is released, not just for the person, but for ourselves. That's what's going on. There's people's lives on the line. And we're trying to figure out, well, Lord, what do you do when people are they're close to death? Is it their time? Is it not their time? What does that mean? How does that work? What did Jesus do? How does he tell us to stand? How do we know his thoughts? When we're laying down close to Jesus, we begin to think like him. His thoughts become our thoughts. And then we say, Lord, I only want holy thoughts in my head. Work on me. Because we can't do it ourselves. We can't make ourselves holy. The Lord says, I want to do it, but it's going to do it. I'm going to change you in my presence. But see, those words, I'm going to change you in my presence, for people that have been in the presence of God, I've heard that before. But it's true. It's still true. And the Lord says, I will change you. You will be different because you will go from glory to glory to glory to glory. So that means the more we're spending time in his presence, but then getting up and going and doing and not just playing. Honestly, the Lord says he's going to release something new in our life. And this is a passion that we have. There's nothing wrong with playing and having a good time. I don't mean that. People who know me know I don't mean that. But what I'm saying is, he's saying these are times and the seasons are upon us. He says, look, look what I'm doing. I'm giving you these opportunities. If you'll take the opportunity and move with that ruah of the Holy Ghost and you say yes, guess what? The enemy will do everything to try to stop you. He'll say, she's crazy. She's some nutcase. Don't listen to that. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She doesn't know my life. I don't really care. I don't like that, but I don't really care because it is the truth. And the truth of Jesus needs to be spoken for all of us, just to step in and say, Jesus, I want to be like you. And you're going to work it out. You're going to work out all the different problems that I have, all the different relationship issues that are going on, because I can't solve them, but I've got to keep doing the work that you've called me to do. This is fun. Okay, so when Jesus cast out, we're in 23 to 26, he cast out these demons, or this demon, in this man. Be quiet and come out of him, he said in verse 25. In 27, this is in the synagogue, they were all amazed so that they debated among themselves saying, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. And then 28, get this, immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding districts of Galilee. This is another immediately. I mean, this is unprecedented in the Gospels to have this many immediately's, honestly. And now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. Immediately spoke to Jesus about her, and he came out, raised her up, and the fever left her. She waited on them. And then it goes down even further. Look at verse 35. Now, this will really wreck you. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Let me say it again. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place, was praying there. And he couldn't even go there. Simon and his buddies, soon to be Peter, they're following him, going, where is he? I got to be close to him. So look at 36. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him, and they said, everybody's looking for you. And he said, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also. For that is what I came for. That's why I'm here. He came to preach. He's calling us. We have to be so filled up with him that we can't help but preach. Preach the good news. Give the message of the good news. Speak the message of the good news. Be filled up with the fire of God so it comes out of us. This is, and go to the ends of the earth. Don't believe the lie that says, well, I'm called here and I'm never moving. Who says? We go from glory to glory. Don't put that caveat on your own life. Well, if he tells me to. That's like saying, I'll speak in tongues if he tells me to. Really? That's not for all of us? Well, if he really wants to, he's going to tell me, and then I will, and then he'll give it to me, and it'll be okay. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Don't fall into those lies. That's not how he operates. He says, I came to give you a gift, and he's amazing. Amen. So in verse 39 through 41, the lepers came to him, other people came to him, and Jesus was moved with compassion in 41. And 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. But I need to have this and this and this and this worked out, and then I'll do that, Jesus. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, well, as soon as you get this need met, as soon as you take care of this piece of business in your life, as soon as this gift is brought to you, as soon as you walk in this level of blessing, then you go ahead. He doesn't say that. That's not what the scripture says. We want to model our life after him and not be watered down and not believe the lie and say, well, you know, I don't think this is the year. I don't really want to. Don't. Because the enemy will have a platform to steal even more fire. It'll just not be as burning as it was. The Lord is calling for burning ones, and Jesus was going after those that would burn for him. And they were kind of a motley crew. I mean, even the Pharisees were saying, where'd you get these guys? I mean, they're kind of weird. Really? This weird fisherman and this tax collector? They're kind of goofballs. So what are you doing here? And they made fun of him. But look what Jesus says. So good. Chapter 2. This is really cool. These guys who had been with Jesus so far, and it's not everybody yet, but it's the ones that he's called so far. They're following him. The crowds are around him, and they want to see their buddy healed. They want to see the paralytic healed. What do? They find out where Jesus is, and he's going, and he's preaching, and he's teaching, and he's healing, and he's doing all the things that he does. And you know what? They say, we got to get in there, but there's no room in the inn, so we got to cut a hole in the roof, and we're going to lower this dude down, and Jesus is going to touch him, and it's going to happen, because they encountered him, and they were stirred. So when you're on fire and you're stirred, people who want to be on fire will receive more fire. People who are just kind of ho-hum will probably think you're weird and crazy, and the Lord can deal with them. But the Lord is saying, step in and surround yourself with fiery people and then keep going and spreading the fire and see what God will do. Don't let those who are kind of ho-hum around you be your center and focus, because it will wear you down. It will wear you down. And you know what you'll say really well? I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. But it doesn't change. The Lord says, let it change. Because it'll change in my presence. It'll change. You'll be transformed. Lay down. Let me come in. When you see his eyes, when he connects with you, when you have those kinds of encounters with him, you'll be wrecked forever. And the things that you wanted to see change will be changed in a second on the floor. And then you get up and you go. And then you get up and you do. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't be fooled. Don't look at it the wrong way. Look at it the way the scripture reads, and that'll be the right way. So chapter 2, verse 8, immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were teaching that way within themselves, said, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Because they were really ticked off at Jesus, going, what do you mean you forgive this guy his sins and he's getting healed? Who do you think you are? Only people from heaven could do that. And Jesus says, which is easier, verse 9, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up and pick up your pallet and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, I say to you, pick up your pallet and go home. 12, he got up and immediately picked up his pallet, went out in the sight of everyone. So they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Do you want your life to be able to be reflected where people, you first, will say, I've never seen anything like this? How many of us have seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open, lame walking, baby raised from the dead in the womb, okay? I've never seen anything like this. If God's saying, I want to wreck you, even if you haven't seen that, you're in a place here where the Lord says, I'm doing it. Yes, but I need this and I need that. He says, no. He says, that will come. Reverse your thinking. Quit believing lies and step in. And you will see your family members changed. You will see the needs that you have in your life met. You will receive the blessings. But don't believe the lies. You have to know that they're lies to know that they have to be gone against. And that's only going to come as you spend time in his presence and listen to those who do as well. So he's going to do that for us. Okay, we're going kind of quick because it's hot in here for us. So in verse 14, he calls Matthew or Levi, and he says, follow me. He's a tax collector. And he goes on, and he just talks. He's amazing, Jesus. So you can read it all the way through, all the way down to verse 22. Where are we here? Okay, we're going to go on chapter 3, because I can't go through this whole thing. Time-wise, we're in the West. If we were in Africa, we would. But we can't hear too easily. All right. Verse 6 in chapter 3, because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Bad Jesus. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him. How can they get rid of him? Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples, and a great multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. A great number of people heard all that he was doing, and he came to him. And they came to him, and he told his disciples that a boat should stand ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crowd him. He didn't go away from the crowd. He just went where he could do better work for the crowd. For he had healed many, verse 10, with the result that all those who had afflictions pressed around him in order to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they would all go down before him and shout, you are the Son of God. Just totally amazing. Jesus then called all of his 12. He called them all in so he could send them out to preach. Let's look at this. Verse 13, when he went up on the mountain and he summoned those whom he himself wanted. He's calling us. He's saying, I want you. I want you more. I know you know me, but I want you to know me so intimately, so on fire, Lee, in a way that's so strong, that you will be able to see beyond what you're seeing now. I want to show you things. I want to show you things about your family beyond what you know. I want to show you things that don't make sense. I want you to have my eyes, but I also want you to have my heart, because there will be things you might have to withstand, and it might be a very long period of time. And the Lord says, I'm going to teach you how to flow and how to walk, but also how to remain in joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost in the midst of in continual pain, possibly, until situations change and God will show us how. But we have to be that close in communion with him. Thank you, Lord, for that. So, he said, verse 14, he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out the demons. Let me read that again. 14, he appointed 12 so they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out the demons. And then the scripture lists everybody, which is really cool. Verse 20 says, and he came home and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they couldn't even eat a meal. In other words, Jesus was not concerned about what he would eat, what he would drink. He was just concerned about the people because he was so in love with the Father. He was so in love that he was propelled and compelled by love and propelled to go out. He couldn't stop. He was looking in the highways and byways. That's why he could tell us about the wedding feast. That's why he could say, come, come, go get them in the highways and the byways. Go bring them in. Go to my lost lamb. Go to my lost tribe in Canton, Ohio. Go to my lost tribe down in Columbus. Go, go. The key is to go. But rise up as you lay down in me, and you won't be able to stop. You'll want to try these things even more. But watch out. Because those who would go before, the Lord says, I will try you, I will test you, I will prune you, I will fortify you, I will purify you. I will purify you in a way that will bring such purity that when we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which we're going to do down in Columbus, and then if you notice, Brother Yun was talking about that, it's just one of the feasts, the Jewish feasts, and we're not majoring on that, but this is something that's going to happen when Jesus comes back in Jerusalem, really. He's saying, I'm tabernacling my people, and I want them to know that I'm here, and it says in Scripture that we'll celebrate that when Jesus comes back in Jerusalem. We're not leading that. Somebody else is. But I'm just saying, you know, when you hear something or you see something in a video, it's like, what? But people who are really close to Jesus are going to inquire of him. What does that mean? If we're not today, that's okay. But we will eventually, because he will see to it that we do. He's just calling us to lay down more, and then get up. Lay down and get up and go. Oh, I'm encouraging myself. This is really good. Didn't plan that, but it's just an encouragement just to continue on with all the things. You know, if you're a mother or a father, if you think about it, when you want your children to see the things that you can see, and you kind of guide them and you lead them, and you give them opportunities, like we've done here in Frontline to the best that we can right now. Just step in, try this. What about that? Give it a shot. You know, do what we can do. And they're funny little kids, you know, but they're being raised in a way that isn't typical. It's not typical. We're not trying to be, oh, we're just cool and we're the SEALs group and we're, no, it's not like that at all. It's just, Jesus, we want you to be the center and the focus, and maybe someday they'll catch that more quickly than I did when I was a kid. Right? And so we're trying to help them do that in a way that's fun, good, but that gets the focus on heaven above. We're trying to do that. But we want them to eventually have a worldview, but they won't if we don't. If we can't see what the Lord's doing all around the world, not just in our own little families, in our own little world, no matter how rough it is, okay? The Lord says, I'm going to show you something new. When Beth and Cameron got married, my sister's here today, Auntie Ann. Hello. And Mom had just passed away on was it Monday or Tuesday? Tuesday. And Beth and Cameron got married on Saturday night. I was like, wow, okay. It was a really awesome wedding. And we had the privilege of leading that wedding, of marrying them. Okay? That's kind of an intense thing when your mother dies. And it involves a lot of emotions and everything else. But the Lord says, I knew that. And I knew that. So you're not being fake if you go and do a wedding. It's just who you are. You raise up in me. You don't just go do a wedding and then you fall apart after. It's not like that. The Lord's saying with things that are going on around us, we keep going from glory to glory, but we can't do that without laying down in Jesus. You know? So the Lord is saying more is coming for us. So this is a time, this is a season that he's challenging us. And the last thing I want to say, I'm trusting. I wrote a couple of notes down yesterday when I was just kind of spending time with the Lord. I don't know, this is really for me. And I'm not sure what I'm going to say here, but I might just pick out a few things as I close here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. This is one thing the Lord was speaking to me about. If we have painted a picture of a God who is insensitive or unresponsive, if we have allowed that picture to be painted in our soul, okay, in any way, some people say, well, you're mad at God, or you're upset with God, or you're angry with God, or you don't like this, or you don't like that, or whatever. But it comes from a picture of a painting of Jesus, of the Father. If we don't see him for who he really is, why he would be the King of Majesty coming from heaven to earth to serve, to preach, to teach, to heal, to go to the nations, to stir people up, to light people on fire, to be everything that he wants us to become. If we can't understand that from spending time with him, we will have a picture of an unresponsive and insensitive God. And if we have that in any way, even if we say, well, I really don't blame God, but I'm so angry. Okay? Lord says, do you trust me? Do you know me? Do you know me well enough? Do you understand me well enough? Do you connect with me in those deep ways where no matter what, the nevertheless is in your heart and it's from me because I've put it there, because I'm the sovereign God of the universe and I'm not some mean old God and I'm not unresponsive and I'm not someone who is insensitive. So I believe as I close today that the Lord wants to raise our view, our spiritual view in our soul, in our mind, in our wills, okay, in our emotions and our feelings that play out in our bodies of who he really is. And he's saying to us, yes, I want you to lay down. I want you to do these things only so that I can love you, only so I can visit you, so I can impart to you, so I can release my fire, release my power, release my anointing, release my grace, give you everything that you need to take the next step that I've laid before you. If we're taking a lot of steps that are good steps, but those are not the ones in order that he's wanting us to do, we can prolong our issues, our problems, and our lack of receiving from him. He doesn't want that. He wants us to have what we can have so that we can go lower and get more. Go lower in humility. Right understanding of humility changes everything. If we have the wrong understanding of what it means to go lower, then we have the wrong concept of the Lord, because Jesus was the most humble. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for these words this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you're desiring for us to say yes in the areas that you have for us, God, even beyond what we've experienced before. Father, last week there was a preaching of Ruah. Lord, there was a release of Ruah. There was a release of your fire. There was a release of your anointing. There was a call, God, for people to come, all of us, Father, to receive more of you, where that dunamis power would be released that would propel us into spending more time with you, to know you, to hear you, to allow you to transform us in your presence, to change us, to remove the lies in our minds, to remove the hopelessness in our hearts. That's who you are. To help us be able to truly forgive, not just mouth it, but really walk it. So it's easy. Father, we take that yoke that's on upon you, that's upon you. We take that upon ourselves, a yoke of love. And we say, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So we thank you for that today, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. That today is a day, Father, of celebration, more of who you are, Jesus, to see you as the King, as we watch you before you laid your life down in this earth. Lord, that we would understand who you are in greater ways, God, and not make excuses because it doesn't make sense to us or it's not comfortable or both. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to be moved in tandem with your word. And we're going to have that time, those times, Father, where we just rest in you, soak in you, allow your presence to completely overtake us and overwhelm us, Jesus. Father, thank you that we'll be willing to listen. We'll be willing to hear. We'll be willing to change. We'll be willing, God, and that you'll remove the stubbornness from our will. Because if we're not willing, Lord, if we think we've got this, oh, Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us, God, for that pride. Forgive us, Jesus. We just ask you, God, to release more of who you are today. Thank you for your dunamis working love, because your power is love. Thank you, God, for that. Let it be today. Thank you for what you're doing in each one. You know each one of us, the number of hairs on our heads. Thank you that you encourage us and strengthen us now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just love you and praise you in fullness, God. Let it be. Let it be after today. Just want to close and encourage you guys to start reading from the very beginning in Mark. And just read. Just start reading and say, Jesus, who are you beyond what you've ever read before? Do it fresh and new. Been doing this a long time, so have many of you. Read it fresh and new and let him touch your spirit in the deepest places and step in and say, Jesus, change me so I become like you and I do the work of an evangelist, because you're calling all of us to do the work of an evangelist. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. God bless you guys. Woo, have a good